Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Even the Rich is a podcast from Wondery that tells the jaw-dropping stories about the tumultuous lives of the world's elite. From the greatest family dynasties to pop culture superstars.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, the original babe. It's Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hey, hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Love you, babe. Babe.
Love you too, babe.
I'm going to propose by the end of the month, babe.
Babe, that's like insane right now. But like, Ronnie, like, why are you putting that all on me? Please don't put that all on me.
What's going on over there?
Not much. Just we're here. We're in the middle of our work week. A lot of fun stuff. We're talking Summer House today, obviously. I hope it was obvious. But before we get into that, we have our live shows we just want to remind you about in case you didn't hear from the other 5 million times we mentioned it. But it's always good because you never know when people are listening for the first time. In just like a few weeks, we're going to New York City for our big annual New York City show. It's always probably one of the biggest shows of the year for us. That's going to be on May 11th at the Town Hall, which is where we did the Crappies last year. Probably will be the biggest show of the year for us, in fact. And then DC, also one of our biggest shows of the year, will be 2 days later on the 13th. That's at the Lincoln Theater. So both those shows are going to be crazy. I don't want anyone to miss it. It'll be wonderful. And then in June, we have just like a marathon of shows to do. We're going to San Diego. We're going to St. Paul, Minnesota. We're going to Chicago. We're going to Columbus. We're going to Boston. And we're finishing the entire Cheetah Brand tour at Mashantucket, Connecticut, at the Foxwoods Resort and Casino. So please join us. Go to watchercrappens.com for that. And then don't forget Patreon, our lovely, beautiful, sweet Patreon, patreon.com/watchercrappens, which is where our bonus episodes live. Last week, Ronnie and I sat in the Toronto airport and we watched people walk back and forth in front of us, and we had a lot of things to say about them. So please go listen to that bonus episode because we enjoyed it. And you also get access, if you support at certain tiers, to Crappens on Demand, where you can watch us do the podcast, not just listen. And of course, our Discord channel. And then last but not least, we do Dwell Hello every other week, which is where we recap House Hunters or House Hunters International. We always have a blast with that. Last week, we recapped... what was last week's recap, Ronnie? It was the guy... It was the family... And it was a house, it was regular House Hunters. Do you remember which
they
one it was?
They were moving to Georgia because right, they want micro-farming. A micro-farm. It was micro-farming douchebags, okay? His people had $5 and he wanted to live on Yellowstone Ranch.
They wanted a wraparound porch and rolling hills, but also room for cattle. And
a lady who was shocked that there were stalls in a barn. She's like, wow, how helpful. We can keep the animals separated.
And an overabundance
like we normally
of
have the
windows.
Cows breeding with the hens, you know? Fucking
they
morons.
So terrible. So yeah. Anyway, that's actually an exclusive to Wondery Plus and Amazon Music. So okay. That's there. That's it.
All right. That's a lot. We just opened our trench coats and we're selling a lot of watches in there.
Yeah, but okay. It's all good. They're all good watches. We're selling Rolexes.
And they're all totally real, guys. So let's move on to Sommerhausen. Huh?
Sommerhausen. Huh? Yeah, ooh, this is a little bit of a spicy episode. Danielle and Lindsay, the destruction of their friendship continues.
The literal worst parts of everybody just coming right out.
You know, I got a lot of heat last week, Ronnie. A lot of heat because I was more on Team Danielle in this fight, and people were upset. There were Facebook posts that were written that were very angry at me. There were tweets that were angry at me. And I have to say, I apologize, but I'm not going to change my point of view. I stick behind it.
Good
and
for
also,
you.
It's Summer House. So it's like, it's all good because, like, who cares? It's Summer House. We all can.
Yeah, it's Summer
I don't
House.
Care if someone's on Team Lindsay, someone's on Team Danielle, if someone's on Team, you know, Potted Plant, I'm all down. I'm down. Let's all
well,
get into
Well, and also
it, you know?
The, you know, the posts weren't like, Ben, I hate Ben. Ben sucks. They were just like, I disagree with you, you know. So
it was like,
that's
Ben, you are absolutely wrong. What is wrong with you? You are terrible. This is the first time I've ever disagreed with you. And I said, like, why are you putting it all on me?
Yeah, put your weight on me. But, you know, the good thing about Summer House is that you pick a side, and then the next week, somebody activates and then goes fucking insane, and it gets harder and harder to stick up for them, as Lindsay often does. As, you know, any Lindsay fan knows, this is just the ride of Lindsay, okay?
It is.
You stick up for Lindsay, and then you're like, no, Lindsay, no!
Come back, Lindsay!
By
the way, I just want to clarify, I love Lindsay. I think Lindsay is great chaotic energy. She's like, there have been times where she's made me so angry on this show because I'm like, what the hell is wrong with her? But she is like a wonderful, perfect addition on this show. She does bring it to life when she is activated and not trying to play like house with Carl. But I do love Lindsay. I just happen to be more on Danielle's side in this fight.
Okay, well, you know, I love being comfortable in our clothes, and you're wearing a wrong suit, and you're very comfortable in it, so it's very
You are Jonathan Van Ness, and you're saying, hey, I am a queer eye, and I'm here to tell you how you could, like, adjust your look right now.
No, you just keep that wrong suit.
I'm keeping my Jose Bank
Danielle suit. It's a 3,500 wrong thread count. And I say good for you.
The shoulders are a little too wide. I get it.
So we start where we ended, where Lindsay is out partying with everybody. There's the group that's partying, and then there's the group that's staying home to make pizza with Raku. Oh. Now, I don't know how Carl's about to ask anybody to raise children with him when he's making pizza with ragu sauce. And if you do that for your children, shame on you.
Shame.
You're teaching your children to be trash, okay?
Thank
Learn
you.
How to
Deep trash.
Saute an onion, some garlic, and add some can of tomatoes in there and blend you, it up. Is you, it that hard, really, it, people? It's not.
It's literally not. I remember, actually, I had like a little pizza making phase like 10 years ago. And there's on allrecipes.com, there's like a very highly rated and reviewed pizza sauce recipe that you don't even have to saute onions. You could just like mix together tomato paste and various things and like oregano, and it works. It's just so much better than not the ragu.
I like that you changed from a wrong suit to a wrong apron. Don't saute an onion.
I mean, like, no, I mean, you aspire
like that.
I'm just, no, what I'm saying is, of course, I would of course do the sauteed onion version, but I'm saying that you could still, like, there,
it doesn't
even
have to
do
be,
like
it
a simple hack. You could do a simple hack,
right,
and it'll still taste better than the ragu.
You're right.
Thank
you're
you.
You're in a right apron.
Thank you. Thank you for tailoring my suit and making it look better on me.
Because ragu is just, that's a fucking shame. So now Danielle and Carl are talking, because Carl's like, oh, I'm going to tell you something about Lindsay or talking to Danielle. So they go into like a little room and they're talking about the relationship, and he's like, why are you saying we're taking things too fast? And she's like, are you not searching for rings? And he's like, yeah. And then she screams into a pillow. It's like, ah!
She's like, it's been a year, Carl. Like, there's not an ounce in me that's against you as a couple. Well, maybe about 3 to 10 or 45 ounces, but there's not generally an ounce against me as a couple. But please don't think that this is where it's coming from, me saying this. I'm just thinking you guys are going too fast.
You just screamed into a pillow. You know what I mean?
She had a
and you also you also just a couple of minutes ago said how weird it was, and you're allowed to be weirded out or whatever the hell. So Carl's like, well, actually, that makes me feel 100% better, because like, I was over here thinking you had an issue with me. I'm like, I don't know, like maybe like our past from our relationship years ago. And she tells us, I met Carl in 2015 and we dated for a minute and it didn't end well, but it is laughable that anyone would think I still have feelings for Carl. I mean, that is insane. I just literally want to hang out with Carl all during the week and Lindsay. That's it. Just want to be with Carl and Lindsay all during the week. That's it.
So Danielle's like, I just feel like you guys are cutting me out, which is really the crux of it. That, I think, is...
That's it.
That's what ding, it is. Ding. And I think, by the way, that's totally valid. You're allowed to feel that way. You know, that's it. She feels just left out, you know? And Carl's like, well, no, I don't want you to... You guys to think that. Like, I want to find things where we do things like the four of us. And by the four of us, I mean, like, me, Lindsay, Wesley Stripes, and the new sheep. And then, like, we can zoom you in occasionally. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to feel left out.
Or, like, if it's going to be, like, the four of us without Robert, it can be like me, Lindsay, you, and like the Lord in between us all. You know, like, so we're at a Catholic dance. We can't actually make out because you probably still want to make out with me because we dated that one time.
Yeah, like, how about it's like the four of us, like me, Lindsay, like our cell phone, and we could take photos, and then you could be like the fourth person and you can receive the photos the next day. It'd be totally cool. Yeah.
So she's like, why does it have to be couples though? Why can't it be the three amigos? I was like, oh, God, because none of you are Steve Martin or Martin Short or Billy Crystal. None of you have it in you. Chevy Chase. Please don't use... Wait, then how is it three amigos?
Because Billy Crystal was in City Slickers and Chevy Chase was the third amigo. Right. But still, your point remains, none of them are Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
They're not City Slickers either.
None of you are Billy Crystal either. So don't go getting sleepless in Seattle.
Stop forgetting Paris.
Also, it's not Billy Crystal,
that was
right?
Tom Hanks.
That's Tom Hanks. God, what's Billy Crystal done? That guy hasn't done shit.
Why is he even in our collective consciousness? Work harder, Billy Crystal.
Hey, Billy Crystal, get out of the Summer House recap. You don't have the IMDb to even deserve to be here. Okay?
He's about to do a song and dance. I know. Sir, please be more gay iconic. So,
Do you still remember the Three Amigos dance?
Oh, yeah. It was like up here, hips. And then spit or whatever. Love that movie.
So she's like, why can't it be the amigos? Because like I have a different kind of relationship and I have a different career. I'm a startup founder. Oh, Danielle. So Danielle also posted this thing this week that a listener sent us a screenshot of that was like, okay, we're getting ready with my app. So I need someone who can program and program this entire app based on designs that we've mocked up for free. But maybe you'll get paid in the future, or it's such a big project, you'll get paid that way. I was like, this is now, this is way, like a year after this shit is shot, and you're basically looking for a free programmer right now? What are you doing over there?
It's giving me flashbacks to Rome.com by Landon.
Me too. By Landon. But you know what? I believe in Danielle more than I believe in Landon.
I do, too. I mean,
remember Danielle was always late because she was on the Long Island Railroad after work and working on her laptop and, like, running in all harried with her laptop out, like, sorry, I'm late. I was at work. And, like, pulling off her suit jacket and, like, kind of getting drunk while also typing emails. I was like, if any girl can make an app, this girl can make an app.
Yeah, but I'm a little concerned. I just feel like we're, like, in a world of tech layoffs and everything. I'm like, is this the time to start up a fashion app? Is this, I don't know. I'm scared for her. So, but either way, that's probably why she's also acting crazy, because she's probably stressed out of her mind because she knows she probably made a terrible decision. And then she is literally saying, like, I'm stressed out. I'm a startup founder. This is hard on me. And Carl's like, yeah, well, that's a lot of pressure and stress, I guess. And she's like, I just would love the people that are closest to me checking in on me, and like Lindsay being at the top of that list. And if we're going in separate directions, then let's manage those expectations, which is another reason why I believe she could do a startup, because she's saying things like, let's manage those expectations. Very corporate speak.
Yeah,
you know?
She knows business speak. She knows corporate speak. You know, she's like, you know what? Let's think on that. Let's take a breather.
Hey, I just want to bump this to the top. Can I bump this discussion to the top? I'm going to circle back to it.
So we go to Amanda, Kyle, and Gabby. And Amanda, of course, you know, loves this shit. She's like, well, they're never going to have the same relationship they had when Lindsay was single, because their relationship before was Lindsay did whatever she wanted and then Danielle just kind of supported it. Like, Lindsay was here and Danielle was here. So, like, now that Lindsay's deciding to be over here, then Danielle's over here. Then, like, who's over here, Kyle? Because, like, then where are we? Like, my hand's here, but then that hand's there. But then I don't even know where my hands are anymore, Kyle.
Amanda is 1 millisecond away from just voguing at this point. Her hands are like forward, left, right. You know, she's like,
she is doing the Three Amigos dance.
Yeah, she's slowly forming the Three Amigos dance with her hand examples.
And I like Gabby following her hands around. And she's like, so it's like she's over there. And then the other girl's like, but then why am I staying over here when you're over there? Is that what you're trying to say? Yes. It's
three card Monty.
You're getting it. You're getting it, Gabby. I know it's like the slowest shell game ever. Okay, there's a pea under one of these shells. Pick it up. It's that one. You're moving very slowly, ma'am.
Ma'am, it's not hard to track your game here. Okay, speed it up. Amanda, the worst street hustler of all time.
The worst shell game lady of all time. So then we go back to Carl and Danielle, and he's like, oh, so you feel like you aren't as close as before? Is that what you're saying? She goes, yeah, because I'm like a phone call. I'm like a text message. He goes, oh, so you don't feel dialed in? She's like, thank you so much for the corporate speak. Because yes, I am an app manager, and I don't feel dialed in.
As per my email, I do not feel very dialed in right now. So Carl's like, well, I want you to find a way like to feel like you're getting something back from her, like, and getting support from her. And I think she wants to do that too. And like, I think, like, I get, like, in the beginning, it's like weird. It's in shock seeing the two of us. It's like seeing a Giselle with a giraffe and they're like fucking. It's weird. But like, my worry, like, all of a sudden was like going like, oh, like, did she think like I did something crazy? Like, cause I'm like really focused right now on just like, you know, like on this relationship, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's basically saying, does she think I'm going to fall off the wagon and just be a crazy fuckboy again? Mm-hmm. And that's his paranoia. And he's right to think that. And she wouldn't be wrong to have that feeling either, frankly. And they even tell you in recovery,
yeah,
not to move too fast. Like, literally, right. Not to move too fast and to really watch out and to not just trust because you've had a good year, that it's a good life. Like, it's one day at a time, you know?
I mean, did everyone?
Everybody's heard it.
We've all seen Countess Luann's, you know, her post cabaret season. We all saw what happened. You know, it's, you know, after it's things can still happen. You know.
So, yeah, I was thinking all that season just flashed in front of my eyes. I remember when she was like, oh, God, I feel so good being sober. Would you like something to drink? And opened her fridge and it was all bottles of rosé. I was like, seriously?
That culminated her sobriety. That culminated her like going on a bender and buying using all her resources to try to buy that roundhouse in Hudson Valley. It's a roundhouse.
And she did it, you know, so...
Yeah. And then
goals
she sold
are important
it.
Anyway.
So Carl's like, yeah, like, well, you know, it's just like hard because like I can be as like hunky dory with Danielle, but it's like still like not gonna mend fence to Lindsay, and like I'm just hoping like my positivity and like support can like help them come together. So through the power of positivity, I'm just gonna say like babe a lot, and I think it's gonna work. Babe.
So she's like, well, I want the best for both of you, and I just wanted to be heard in the friendship. And he's like, yeah, I get that. Okay. So this is the crux of it. I get that. I get that Lindsay is a train that just keeps going at full steam ahead. And I think sometimes it doesn't matter who's around Lindsay as long as she has someone to talk to and laugh with. Mm-hmm. It could be anyone. And it is all about Lindsay. And it is. I get what Danielle's saying that way. But you can't go to all the girls that don't like Lindsay and talk shit to those girls and then do it in front of them to like kind of embarrass Lindsay. And I think that that's where Lindsay's problem is. That Danielle's saying, all I wanted was more friendship. And she's completely forgetting her culpability in what this fight has actually become about.
Well, yeah, I think you actually are right too, believe it or not. I think that we have actually found, like, I think we've gotten to the core of it, which is that I don't think that Danielle was necessarily going to those other girls to embarrass Lindsay, but I think she maybe she was being careless with who she was venting to, not really thinking about the consequences. And Lindsay's annoyed by that. But the truth is, like, what, like, Danielle's issue keeps getting sidetracked to by a debate about how she reacted to the issue, not the issue itself. So, in some ways,
well, right, because she didn't bring that issue. She didn't bring that issue to the table to just Lindsay. She brought it to the girls behind her back, and then she brought it to the girls in front of Lindsay. That's when she confronted Lindsay in front of all the girls. Right. So I think that's why it's like, your issue doesn't matter because what you did was so shitty that like your issue now takes the back seat. Whereas if you had just come to her and been like, hey, can we go to lunch? And I feel like you don't talk to me or like you don't know what's going on in my life. Now, to be honest, we all know Lindsay, and Lindsay might have had the same reaction, which is, how dare you? Why can't you call me? Why are you in the city? Like, she could have still done all that, but we'll never know.
We will never know.
We'll never know.
But Lindsay, one of the rare moments where Lindsay's actually partying and being carefree this season, because she is out at like a bar, and so she's partying with Sam and Chris, and Corey and Sam are making out, and meanwhile it's like 10:18 p.m. and Sam calls the group at home, the pizza group, to be like, we're gonna go to Southampton Social tonight. And everyone's like, ugh, not Southampton Social again. She's like, come on, you guys are going out because you're not lame, okay? Kyle, you're not fucking lame either, come on, come out. Don't you want to spend an evening out while I make out with Corey and Chris exists? Come on.
And Amanda's like, I'm lame, fam. We know. She wasn't talking to you.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Scammers are best known for living the high life. Globetrotting on private jets, dining at five-star restaurants, and driving six-figure sports cars. That is, until their house of cards collapses and they're forced to trade it all in for handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit. Scamfluencers is a podcast from Wondery, hosted by Sarah Haggie and Saatchi Cole, that tells the unbelievable true stories behind some of the world's most infamous scams, swindlers, and con artists. Scamfluencers has covered jaw-dropping scandals, from Ponzi schemes to a fake Saudi prince to a sexual predator masquerading as a wholesome yoga guru. These scammers cost their victims hundreds of millions of dollars and immeasurable emotional anguish. So how does our culture allow them to thrive? Each story on Scamfluencers will take you along the twists and turns, the impact on victims, and what's left when the facade falls away. Follow Scamfluencers wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
So then Lindsay gets on. She's like, okay, wait, I just tried calling Carlito. Where are you guys? And she's like, I'm in the living room. Well, where's Carlito? Where is he? Is he in the living room? Did he see his phone when I was trying to call him? Why didn't he pick up the phone when I was trying to call him? Was he getting an Oreo? He shouldn't be eating Oreos. Like, what is he doing?
Was he delivering his pizza? Does he know it's not delivery? It's DiGiorno. He doesn't have to do that. So they're basically like, oh yeah, he's in the living room. He's in the office talking to Danielle. And that, you know, that you just know.
Why is he in the office? Why? Why is he in the office? I don't know what's going on. Why is he in the office? Why? Why? Why is he in the office? Lindsay, go, fucking stop. Go have fun and stop fucking policing helicopter Lindsaying.
But you know what? Because she has her abandonment issues, of course. Remember Aranda? And... And
yeah,
so
but
I
what
think,
did
like,
she think? She went out, and so Carl like suddenly like went to a whiskey distillery, and you know,
I feel like no, I don't think that's what
San Jacinto. Like, what the hell?
She might think that, but I think
give
that what
the
she
man
thinks,
a pizza night.
I think in her mind she's thinking, like, oh my god, like all of a sudden he's not answering my call, and now he's talking to Danielle, and Danielle is turning him, and then all of a sudden I'm going to lose Carl. Like, I think I can imagine her spiraling because that triggers all of her abandonment issues.
That's a good call. Yeah, thanks. That's a good call.
How's my suit looking now, baby?
That's a good call suit you're wearing. Wow.
Thanks.
So anyway. Carl comes out. It's like Carl senses her. You know, yeah. He's been Lindsay'd to death, like literally nearly to death.
Yeah.
So he comes out like, oh, hey, it's me, Carl. Here I am in the living room. Oh, I don't know what's going on out here. And she's like, and someone's like, she's asking about you, Carl. He's like, oh, hey, Lindsay, before you hear from anybody else, I was talking to Danielle. It was great. Talking to Danielle, totally in your favor. Oh, I was like, hey, Danielle, Lindsay, great product. You should buy some Lindsay. Oh, I'm a good salesman.
Yeah, he basically did that thing where you wake up a minute before your alarm. He's like, oh, I just sense it, Lindsay. So
yes.
Then Lindsay,
yes, you just like wake up like, oh my god, or the, you know, that nightmare where you're waiting tables but you can't get to all the tables, you know, and everybody's yelling at you, you just wake up like freaked out like, I know I've forgotten something.
It's like you can't get to every table to let everyone know that they look great, by the way. So then so Lindsay sort of hangs up the phone because they're drunk and they're being crazy. And so then there's more Sam and Corey making out and stuff. And Danielle is like so happy. She really feels like her conversation was with Carl. She got to like the core of what was on her mind. She got everything off her chest and she needed to say to Carl, everything is great. They aired it all out. It feels like, you know, everything's moving forward.
Yeah, she tells Kyle all that. And she's like, yeah, we aired it out. And he's like, you did? Did you say everything you wanted? Did you mention that time he did coke and didn't bring his computer to work? That was fucked up, man. She's like, let's just leave that in the past for now, okay?
Yeah.
And then Amanda is doing something on her phone and goes, oh my God, you guys, I took a picture of my face on accident. And then we see the picture of her face. And I'm like, yeah. God bless
Gosh,
this person.
I can't believe not more people stayed back for pizza night. So now it's 11:15, and so the non-pizza night people are back for like a, it's like a changing of the shifts.
Correction, before anybody's panties melts. It is 11:16.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Ben.
Sorry, it was 11:15 on the West Coast. So so Sierra and Paige and Lindsay come back, and Carl's like, hey, babe. Hey, hi. Hey, run. Come on, babe. Run to me. Hi, sweetheart. Like, how are you? I missed you. Oh, are you okay? He's like, yeah. Are you sure? Yeah, positive.
She, of course, runs to him and jumps on him and just, like, pins him down on the couch. She's like, are you talking to anybody? Are you sure? You're okay? And he, like, waves at Danielle. He's like, hey, look, oh, Lindsay's back. Oh, remember that totally innocent conversation we had? Maybe we should tell Lindsay about it because she's right here. And Lindsay's like, who are you waving at? He's like, Danielle. And she goes, oh, wow. She says a really high voice, like, wow.
So I leave you alone for like 2 hours and suddenly you're like waving to Danielle across the living room now? Like, really?
Yeah.
So then Sierra, meanwhile, the other girls, of course, go to the beds, and Sierra looks at Amanda and is like, are you eating canned olives right now? She's like, I forgot how good olives are. Also, the craziest thing happened when you were gone. I took a photo of my face by accident.
It was crazy. And then I was like, well, I'm being crazy. I'm going to remind myself about black olives. They're a thing. And Paige goes, out of a literal can?
She's like, who invited the hobo into our house?
And Carl's like, yeah, it's like beans, but they're olives.
By the way, I was really not mad at Amanda for this. I have to say, I actually felt very connected to Amanda at that moment. I love a canned black olive.
It's just all these people who don't eat trying to figure out food, which is so hilarious. They're all stick thin. Not a one of them eats a damn thing. You know, we see them eat a tiny bit on this show, but you know this cast is like a Kind Bar kind of a cast. That's right. It's Kind Bar and some kind of shake. And they don't know that olives come in a can, and they're literally scared to death of getting whatever you get from canned foods just from watching Amanda.
You know what? Yesterday I went to Costco. And it was actually
lucky. I'm so jealous. I'm so lonely.
I wanted to text you, but I actually felt like you would get mad at me. And so,
well, I feel lonely because you can only really go to Costco if you have a family. Like, what the fuck else do you get there? I mean, except a big screen TV or like, you know, I like the electronics section, but you know, or paper towels. I guess there are things I could buy, but I mean, a bag of spinach is this big.
I know. No? I went. I hadn't actually been to Costco since before the pandemic, and so it'd been a really long time. Yeah, and so I got like my new card. I was very happy to see that your face is in color now. It's been that long that like the last time I got a Costco card, it was in that weird like grainy black and white where I look like a strange mafioso from East Hollywood. So I went
a card
on the Costco card.
Oh my God. So you like joined Costco yesterday.
Well, no. I had my membership, but I couldn't find my card. So I got a new card.
Whoa. That's a big day.
It was a big day. Yeah. And it was so awful in there. It was.
Was it?
So terrible. People, I don't know what happens during the pandemic, but Costco is already rough to navigate, but it's even worse now. And it was crazy, but man, I felt alive on a Monday. And I felt alive with all those like, the samples are gone, which is sad, but like all those things, and I had to control myself. And I have had those experiences where I've gone to Costco and I've come back with so many olives, and I'm like, I love olives. I'll eat all of these, and I never eat any of them. So I was really good. I did not have olives, but I was then starting to be like, why did I do this to myself? Why did I drive all the way out here? But then honestly, the thrill of a lifetime, you know who was at Costco? Julia Sweeney from SNL. And I literally almost went up to her and been like, I almost said, you're an icon. I almost just had like a gay meltdown in front of her, but I controlled myself.
I have an old friend who was friends of hers through a group called the Skeptics. And it's like this big organization who just doesn't believe in things. Like that's their whole thing. So they're like, religion, I don't believe in it. And then they have these big meetings where they talk about like not believing in stuff. And Julia Sweeney is like really high up in the skeptics cults. Wow. Or I called it a cult. It's not really a cult. But that's how I always heard of her. And they would have these meetings and they would be like fawning all over Julia. They're like, well, what did Julia say about, you know, Christianity? And I was like, oh, well, she had quite an opinion. And I always thought it was so funny that Julia Sweeney grew up to be like a big fish in the skeptic pond.
Well, she was a big fish in my Costco pond last night, I have to say.
I love it. And now she's so in the Burbank Costco just, you know, making do.
It was so perfect. It was like, I literally, my heart started racing. I don't know why. I was so surprised. And I was like, I'm so glad I came to Costco today. I saw one of my favorite SNL cast members of all time. And there were bulk items nearby.
I would have said, wow, Julia Sweeney, so did you realize you were going to be this problematic back in the 90s? Because, wow. Pull that character out now. Funny you try that one. Okay. Try pulling that Pat character out now. I think people would love it. Yeah. People would love it.
Yeah,
so let's go. So Lindsay is still on Carl's lap, pinning him down. And she's doing her baby voice where she's trying to pretend like she's not fuming inside. But she's really about to kill him. And she's like, you okay, baby boy? And he's like, yeah, I was like literally nervous going to talk to Danielle, which feels silly now. Because like, why would I be? She goes, what did you say, baby boy? Baby boy, baby boy.
So Carl, I wish I remember the lyrics to that song. So Carl's like, yeah, it was just like, I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous, but like, yeah, it was just like, you know, the dynamic's interesting. And she was saying it's like hard because like my friendship with Lindsay has changed, but I'm like not blaming you. And she's like,
yeah, but she is though.
And he's like, yeah, but she said like to you like before that she would hope that you just would like poke and prod a little bit more, just like poke and prod, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I have to be the one that pokes and prods and figures it out like it's a fucking game.
And I was like, oh no, Lindsay is activating on your lap. This is not what you want.
Yeah, yeah. She is. By the way,
also Carl, I think Carl mostly deals with Lindsay okay, but he made a big mistake here.
Huge.
All he really needed to say was, yes, I spoke with Danielle and she really understands your point of view more. Because
yes,
really,
that's all.
He did say the thing about like, well, I was worried that you thought I was going to fuck up or something because of our past. He did say that, but he was also like, I know, you know, he did get Lindsay's point out there too.
Yeah, it seemed like a good conversation. And so he said that
he's selling this wrong, and he's a salesman, and I worry for his salesman qualities.
His resume is not great.
His salesman rep is not great around any parts, and I can see why now, because this is not how you go. You just need to say, Lindsay, we talked about you, but it was in a very positive way, and she totally gets where you're coming from now. That's it.
Yeah, that's exactly all it is. And maybe instead of saying, like, she wants you to poke and prod, maybe say she wants just to check in, you know? I think she's feeling a little vulnerable right now. She's going through shit, and she wants some check-ins. So, but he says pokes and prods, so then Lindsay's like, oh, like, it's like a game? Which, by the way, where the fuck did that come from? Like, just, it's not a game. She's just checking on your friend. So Carl's like, oh, no. I don't think that.
No, that's what's happening.
No, seriously. It was a good conversation, and like I got a lot off my chest, not my hair, but like I got a lot of emotions off, and like I just wanted to hear that she doesn't have an issue with me and the relationship with you, and so like everything's good with me.
Well, I'm glad that you moved forward. That's good, because for some reason she cannot move forward with me, so great. Good for you.
I think she'll be able to. She's like got like a startup and everything, and she said the words like circle back a lot and like enclosed in this email and stuff.
And then
like
I like reciprocated by saying like dialed in, and it was great. It was a good Zoom. It was a good Zoom at the end of the day.
The moment that Carl said, like, I just wanted to hear that she didn't have an issue with me, I was like, ooh, that was a mistake.
Point of like, you shouldn't be married to Lindsay. You're dealing with her the best that we've seen, I think, from everybody that Lindsay's ever dated.
Yes.
But this is a fatal flaw. This is a fatal flaw in your relationship. Huge.
So now it becomes about that. So
she gets up and like kind of storms out, starts storming up the stairs. And it's like, Carl, I thought you were going to like actually have an opinion. And he's like, I do. Which, by the way, she means have my opinion.
Yes. Because
he did have an opinion. She just is saying, I want you to have my opinion, not your own opinion.
Right.
And he goes, I do, though. But like, I told her I wanted her to be like supportive of our relationship because like I'm a good person and she should support me because I'm a good person who's with a questionable person. So I just wanted the support.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to have an opinion.
He's like, yeah, but like you're not giving me a chance. You're not giving me a chance.
I feel good about my opinion.
How do you feel good about it?
It's good because it's my opinion. It's good. It's delicious. It's like if I had chips, I would dip them in my opinion dip because it's that good. So.
Well, is your opinion dip low fat? Because honestly, I feel like if I dipped in your opinion dip, it would not be good for my body right now.
Oh, low fat's a lie. So it's opinions and avocado. Good fat.
So
good fat.
Like we're supposed to be like waking up for berries and like working on ourselves and then come home into your like stick our like chips into your opinion dip and like undo all the work that we've been doing, Carl?
Yeah, and where's your opinion, Carl? What is it? And he goes, well, like, my opinion is good because she told me she doesn't have an issue with me in our relationship. I was like, oh, God, you Carl. Idiot. Carl. And she goes, oh, so she doesn't have an issue with you. And he goes, yeah. And she goes, so you feel good. He goes, yeah. So aren't I supposed to?
So you don't give a fuck that she has an issue with me? And he's like, no, no. It's like he's suddenly realizes, like, oh, yeah, no. It's like, so the entire thing is blamed on me?
And he's like, no, I'm not going to get into this right now. This is like, no, I'm not going to do this right now. Like, no.
Of course, Carl, of course.
Everything I say is wrong. Everything I say is wrong. Oh, you look great, by the way, but everything I say is wrong.
Also, you know, when you're sober, listen, when you're anything, if you're not sober, if you're a complete drunk and currently drunk at the don't fight. That's not the time to fight when you're drunk.
That's
okay with your spouse, really with anybody, but especially with your significant other. But when one of you is sober and the other one just went out and got wasted, and Lindsay did.
Yeah.
Not the time.
Yeah. Not the time. But also, Carl, despite all that, like, don't say, I just was happy that she didn't have an issue with me. Like, no, that's because you went in there to have a conversation. No, it's just bad. It's bad. And so anyway, this is, by the way, kicking off the don't put it all on me, put it all on me Olympics, where there's a lot of discussion of like, well, don't put that all on me. So Lindsay is basically calling him a defensive. He's like, oh, you're the one that's defensive right now. Oh, you are.
And she's like, you only care about how you're being perceived in this situation. You don't care about me. He's like, not true. And they're like marching up the stairs. And Amanda and Paige are with their little can of olives. And they are loving this. They're smiling and listening. And, you know, people get annoyed with me when I'm like, those are mean girls. That's what I'm talking about. Who does that when like a relationship's like, fine. Well, by the way, like, hello. Us. Me and you.
Like,
me,
how about like ben the entire nation? We're all totally watching this right now. Hello.
Yeah, but I mean, that is kind of why they have that rep, you know? It's like someone's fighting and they're like, I love it. I love every second of it.
But to be fair, it's also could have very easily been edited to make it look like they were just having a conversation. But just when they have a conversation, their conversations always look like they're listening in on someone. But they probably were listening in.
I feel like, you know how we have that thing of like, oh my God, Ben, we're Gen X. You remember beepers? Well, I'm a little older than you, so I don't know if you do remember.
I do remember beepers. Yeah.
But, you know, like, do you remember beepers? Or like, do you remember when we all actually had to watch the same channels because there were only three channels? We had to gather around the TV. Like, Paige and Amanda are going to be telling their kids, oh my God, Amanda, do you remember the time when, like, to be entertained, you literally had to eat an open can of olives and wait by stairs for a stupid fucking couple that should have never been together in the first place to start fighting?
Oh, my God.
Those were the days.
Amanda, do you remember that time we had front row seats to watching Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin have a fight while they were doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, except they were fighting about their own lives? That was great.
Remember when we had, like, a front row seat to the old man fighting with the sea? That was amazing.
The C was Carl. The actual C. So, old man in the letter C. Lindsay was the old man. It was weird. It was very progressive, the genders. So.
All right, I guess I should have explained that one a little bit more. Still, you're just kids, so you're not going to get it anyway. But that's what we have to do. That's what we used to have to do in our day.
Remember when we saw the Broadway workshop of Old Lady Screams at Someone starring Lindsay? It never made it very far, but I really enjoyed seeing that production.
Remember that? Do you remember when we would just like stay up and wait for someone to press the medic alert? And say like, hey, I've fallen. Like, because Lindsay's pushed me down the stairs and I can't get up.
So, hey, remember that play we saw where Maureen Stapleton screamed at a man? And it was called I'm Not My Sister, I'm In the Family Though. It was a reference to the sitcom. I didn't really catch on, but I really loved it.
Sorry. Oh, for Christ's sake.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to everyone listening. Let's talk about olives. So, Lindsay's like, so everyone's like listening in, and Lindsay's like, well, if you care about me and this entire situation, then you would understand. And he's like, well, I do care about the situation, specifically my part in it, and that I've been exonerated and I'm a free man. And yeah, just as like an honor to have my reputation clean. Thank you. No more questions.
Yeah, but you don't care that she's has an issue with me, and you don't give a fuck that she has an issue with me.
He's like, yes, I do.
She goes, no, you don't, because that's what you just said to me.
He's like, no, it's not. And the girls are now like opening the door and listening out. They're like sketching it, you know, on a paper. And Carl's like, oh my God, you are being very difficult right now. I was like, oh my God, that's another thing you don't tell Lindsay, right?
Yeah. So Danielle and Kyle are in the kitchen. They're talking, and Danielle, she's overheard this fight. And she's saying how, like, he's like, you know, like, I had this conversation with Carl and went really well. And that she thought they were going to be able to move forward, but now, like, maybe not.
And the girls come down to the kitchen where she is. And they're like, oh, my God, Danielle, where's Danielle? And she goes, well, guys, guess I was wrong on my perception of the whole thing. And Carl's like, yeah, but did you hear how Lindsay sounded on the phone, guys? I just got to say, because... you know, Lindsay sounded pretty hammered. That's my observation.
Kyle, whose perception is not clouded whatsoever by, you know, 20 bottles of Schlitz. So,
and Sierra, whose perception is not clouded at all by ever of how much she hates Lindsay's guts, is like, actually, I don't think she's as drunk as she could have been. So I wouldn't blame it on the alcohol. Because she could have been, she's been worse.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So now we're at the stage of a Lindsay fight where she's going, babe, babe, babe.
Oh, no. It's even better because they've turned off the lights now.
Oh, yeah.
So they've turned off the lights. So now we're watching in black and white. And it's in the dark.
They're in the bed. Babe. She's come over to him because he's lying there staring at the ceiling.
Babe.
Oh. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, babe.
Okay, like, you always get so mad. I was like, him? He always gets so mad. You're the one setting the house on fire. What are you talking about?
I know. She's like, oh, I'm not mad. I'm not mad right now. She's like,
no, you're very mad.
And he's like, oh, okay, no, I'm not mad. And then, meanwhile, downstairs, an Uber has arrived. Because actually, people are going out again. I was like, whoa, is this like Summer House any other season but this one? Wow, people are actually going out.
Yeah, Gabby, Sierra, and Maya Maya's not there this weekend, right?
No, she's
Gabby,
not.
Gabby and Sierra go out. I know that much.
Yeah. Okay.
And then maybe Amanda Sam and Paige are like, we're staying in. We found out that they can olives. It's amazing.
Here I thought it was only a jar world, but cans. They make them in cans. So Carl's like, oh,
you know what? Like, Lindsay, it's like, you know, it's hard to have a conversation when you're like literally like drunk.
And she's
what,
like,
asking questions? What, is that what? Literally asking questions?
No,
is that what?
Like, you're putting me in a situation where I was, like, wrong. And, like, that's not fair. Like, so I don't want to keep going down this road unless we're going to be jogging it and, like, counting the miles. I will jog to the moon for you, babe. On my Fitbit.
So Paige and Amanda sit in bed listening to this, like, you know, George Burns and Gracie Allen or whatever, like a radio show. And Paige is like, oh, my God, I finally understand. Olives are Obama. Yes, I can. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Except I'm going to make it more just about myself. So, yes, I can. Hope.
Okay, then that's on you. Don't put that on me then.
It's like, I'm not putting it on you. She goes,
then why are you so mad? Why are you mad? You're so mad.
I'm exhausted. And I feel like no matter what I say.
And she's like, what? We can't have a normal conversation?
No, like, you're just not handling it normally. Like,
I voiced what I was feeling, and we talked about shit, and I felt better after, and she told me that she does not have an issue with you and me and our relationship, and she doesn't even necessarily have an issue with you, and it's just like, things have changed, and she wishes things were different, and like, you're putting this all on me. Guess what? I take the putting it all on you, I put it on me, okay? On me. You put it on me.
I'm not putting it all on you. I'm asking you to be a fucking partner to me.
And he's like, I am being a partner to you. And being a partner to you is telling you, you do not, I mean, you need to have a conversation with her when you can. That's it. Like, dial in, okay? Like, I'm going to send you the dial in. I need a confirmation, yes or no, on the email for the meeting, okay? Zoom in. Zoom into this. Zoom into this relationship.
And she's like, three. I've had three conversations, and I want my boyfriend to be like, you are a fucking piece of shit to my girlfriend. Go apologize now, you stupid piece of shit whore with a nuts. How about you don't have a startup? You have an end down. How about that, you stupid bitch? Why don't you say that?
And Paige starts cracking up in bed. And Carl's like, no, you're just being rude. Just stop it now. She goes,
no, 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 no. She's
like, you came in the door looking for a fight. She goes, oh, here we go. Lindsay, man, you cannot just walk away, okay? Sleep somewhere else. I would not be near that. There's like, well, nothing you can say.
He's like, can you just like be happy tonight, please?
She's like, I'll be happy when you understand that this is like yet again on me again. It's on me this time. It's on me. And like, you have nothing to do with this. It's like reverse hot potato. It's like they just want the potato to be like burning on them. they want to be the one in musical chairs that doesn't get a chair. They're like, put it on me. You put it on me.
I think it's so funny that he's so strong and not fighting. I mean, who can be goaded this much and not just be like, fuck up, you fucking crazy person. This is why everyone has a problem with you, because you act like a psychopath, okay? Period. Stop acting. But he doesn't. He just stays calm the whole time, and he's like, well, I think you guys should talk. But Lindsay just keeps pushing and pushing, and then when she doesn't get what she wants from him, which is screaming back at her, she needs that, like, toxic ever energy where it's like screaming back at each other, and she's not getting it, so she's just pretending that he is screaming back at her. It's like, don't yell at me. Why are you so mad at me?
Yeah,
so good. It's so funny to watch, but also so sad to like think that this might actually happen. Please don't get married, please.
Please think this through. So Carl's like, oh, I think you do need to have a conversation.
She's like, well, because I haven't tried three other times.
He's like, well, I had a conversation that I think will help for the next conversation.
Yeah. So she goes kind of low, I think, because she's like, well, it would be fun to like have like not me have to worry about it for once in my life, because even on my birthday, like I couldn't have a day on my birthday, and I couldn't even have a day after my birthday because it's all about you. And I was like, okay, well, that's because his brother died. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that was a little weird.
Low. That's a little low, I think.
Well, then there's also, she's also like, he's like, well, I'm a horrible person and I fucked it all up. She's like,
oh, pity Barney. You always want a fucking pity Barney.
I'm like, you're accusing Carl of wanting to put pity party. Your official anthem is,
well, what about me? What? How many sandwiches have you made me?
Like, how many sandwiches have you made me? That is your most famous line of all time. That is the definition of a pity party.
You're right, and it does make it worse, because her going, oh, this, it's a pity party, it's always about you and a pity party, I couldn't even have a thing on my birthday because of you and your fucking pit. It's like, oh
yeah,
not cool. That was Lindsay,
that was not a nice moment. And then,
but also, I'm sorry, Ben, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, did you mention how Carl gets up and like slams the door and leaves?
Yeah, but then of course he comes right back in.
Like a second later. He's like, just had to check. I had to go to the bathroom. That's all, babe.
Yeah. But Carl is doing this thing right now where he's like, we're on camera and I'm just going to be like very cool and calm and collected. But we've seen Carl when he does lose it. And I'll bet that these two go off and he yells just as much as she does and gets just as crazy as she does, because we've seen it a couple of times bubbling up this season, especially when it's about other people. Like when they were talking about Danielle and he's like, oh yeah, so she's just going to like not talk to us about it. Like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, okay. I'll bet he does have a little Everett inside him.
Yeah, well, she's drawn to that, you know? Like, people, I don't know if people have necessarily watched season one, but season one, Lindsay and Everett fighting was, it was just wild. It was crazy. It was never ending. And it was just,
I recommend it everyone
started over
one. It was
every,
a great season.
Yeah, started over any little thing and it never ended. So then Chris is carrying Kyle inside and Sam's wooing, like the party gang comes
back.
Yeah,
they're all
and they're
back.
Like wooing.
They're partying.
And they,
yeah.
Chris is like, hey, spank me with the tail, Corey. Oh, harder. Yeah, I'm in the Marines. Do it harder. I can take it.
I really can't deal with Chris. He just drives me nuts every single time he's on screen. So he jumps in the pool, and then Sam is there. Sam and Corey are in the kitchen. Sam's like, going to go out to the pool, and she's like, I'm going to go out there. And Corey's like, I hope you trip. And then she's like, what? She's like, I said, I hope you trip.
Yeah. Gotcha. And she throws him against the cabinet. She's like, what did you say? You're so fucking wasted right now. I could take you.
They have that.
This couple...
Stay away from me, please. Stay very
please.
Far away.
They this are the fucking couple. They're so gross to me. And everyone online is like, oh my God, they're so cute. First, I will give credit where credit is due. Corey has made this season more fun. I think
he has.
The fact that he's there and he is fun. He has a good vibe with everybody. I credit him for that.
And yeah, the show
this
thrives
couple,
with a fuckboy in the midst. Yeah, but this couple.
This couple. So I saw a clip that she was doing. He's like standing behind her. And I guess she's being interviewed for something. And she's like, oh my God, how we kept talking like after the show filmed was like he had all these pictures on his phone and he showed me a couple. And I was like, those are amazing pictures of us. And like, I want you to send me all the pictures. And he's like, I'm not going to send them to you all at once. So then like every single day, you guys, I'm not even lying. Every single day, he sent me a new picture.
Wow.
Every day you got. And everyone's like, oh.
Wow. Love via airdrop. You know, they
so
are like...
Shut up. Both of you, shut up.
Shut up.
Just the fucking both
listen.
Of you. I want to like learn your iCloud password. Just go in there and fucking erase all your pictures. Okay?
Yeah, I just want to drop random photos of 80s celebrities in there just to screw with you.
Just
like, look,
Edie
there's
McClure.
The sister from Elf. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to like go airdrop you like fucking deep fakes of Edie McClure fucking Elf.
Here's Mr. Belvedere. Speaking of SNL, they totally remind me of that skit. Who was it? Was it like Amy Poehler and like Chris Kattan or something like that? No, I don't think it was them. Oh, Sherry O'Terry and Chris Kattan. This like couple that would like fight, but then like turn each other on and like at like dinner with other people.
It was Amy Poehler and somebody. Yeah.
Oh, Amy Poehler and yeah, it was Amy Poehler and was it Chris?
Where they'd be like, fuck you, I hate you, God damn it. And then they'd be like, do not fight in front of the pub. Do not fight in front of our.
But they'd like turn each other on in the process.
Yeah, and then they'd go to the kitchen and the couple would be all awkward and you'd hear them in the kitchen like, yeah, fuck you. No, fuck you. I'm sick of you. I never stood in bed. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. And like
that's,
the cabinet is banging and stuff.
That's what this scene reminded me of. Let's say I'm pushing Corey up against the wall being like, what'd you say? You want me to trip? Is that what you say? You want me to trip? You want me to fall? I'm going to fall into your face? What else you want me to do? I was like, oh, get them away from me, please.
So then Kyle is hitting Chris's chest and Chris is like, yeah, I'm military. And Kyle's like, yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
And then Corey, we get some insight into Corey.
Oh, guys, this is the best backstory we've ever heard. Okay, Ben, take it away.
Growing up, I was always the cute friend and I was always skinny. And that bothered me so much because like when you're that young, everything revolves around girls. And they were always like, you're so cute. And I was like, I don't want to be cute. I want to be hot. I want to be sexy. I want to be handsome. So I still think I look skinny and I'm never the aggressive one. I just make the girls choose. I'm tortured.
Oh my God. You were bullied because you're only cute and not hot? Fuck off with that backstory.
He wasn't
off.
Even bullied. People were attracted to him, but they were attracted to him in a way that was not the way he wanted them to be attracted to him.
But that's like bullying to him, like not being considered hot. He was like, I was bullied in school. I was only considered really cute and not hot. So that's why I just can't be the aggressive one with girls.
That's when I learned to have an open mouth laugh of sticking my tongue out to touch my chin and giving double peace signs. And if a girl's really lucky, I'll do the double peace signs and tap them onto the window.
Yeah. Oh, God. So then Kyle crawls into bed naked. Amanda's asleep because God, you know, she ate a lot of olives. She's like olive drunk. You know, she's canned olive drunk, which she didn't. She didn't really know how much canned olives can mess with your leptin levels. So she's exhausted, and Kyle crawls into bed naked, and he's like, "Hey, thanks for stealing my pillow, baby, because now I get to share your pillow with you." And you see that his pillow is still there. God, Amanda, how's Amanda with this person, and how is he not bruised? Because I would have kicked his ass, literally kicked him out of the bed.
My pillow smells like Castle Vetrano olives. Good night.
Why is there a can opener in the bed?
Why is there a pimento inside my pillowcase? I was trying to stuff it, Kyle. So it's
morning time.
Yeah. Carl's like, oh, since lunch he's been drinking, I've been like struggling to navigate it. And like, I know what it's like to have 7 or 8 drinks and then like something gets twisted. And then like, you get upset. Like, 97% of like the horrible things in my life have happened to me in that moment. So I'm just going to think about it while I jog shirtless around the Hamptons. Bye.
So yeah, I'm gonna think about that while I jog and think about how much I can't wait to marry someone like that when I'm not drinking.
Yeah, I'm gonna think about that a lot while I take a jog and then come back and act like it never happened. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So Gabby and Danielle and Sam are in front of the mirror getting ready, and Sam's like, "Oh my God, Lindsay was having the time of her life. She got lice, but they're like party lice."
What about me?
She had so many lice fucking in her hair last night. She was having the time of her life last night, and she made out with Sierra like 3 times. And Gabby's like, "What?" And we see a clip of it. And Danielle's like, "Well, Carl and I had a great conversation here, and we covered everything, and it was great. But then after dinner, I heard Lindsay yelling at Carl."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Is it going to be awkward?" Yeah. And then Gabby's like, "Oh, listen, from my perspective, I don't know how there cannot be tension."
Yeah. So Sam goes, "Listen, you're having a lot of one-on-one conversations, and it feels like the one with Carl was good, the one with Lindsay was good, but like maybe it backtracked." And while Sam is like talking about this, Lindsay out of nowhere appears in the bathroom where they're all talking. She's like, "Hey!" And then Sam, it was like Sam's first time being startled by Lindsay, which I think is part of living in that house, is that Lindsay pops up like a ghost out of nowhere. And Sam goes, hi, you want to jump in the conversation? Hi. Oh my God, yeah. I'm terrified. I may have just pooped on the floor.
Yeah, because like, I just popped up. Like, what? Why are you putting on makeup? What's happening, you guys? Everything is great today. Look at me. I'm smiling. And Sam's like, I'm going to leave.
And they're telling her that they're going to go shopping.
Well, they're all like having like panic talk. To be like, everything's fine. Like, I think we're gonna go shopping today. You're like, let's totally go shopping today. Yeah, I think it'll be really fun to go shopping. Lindsay, do you ever go shopping? You ever heard about shopping? Shopping is such a fun idea. Oh my God, is she still here? She's still watching us. Okay, do we have like about 10 seconds worth of shopping material left? Can we do this, guys? No, I don't think so. She's still staring at us. Oh no, what do we do?
So, Danielle just leaves. She just leaves the room. She's like, I need my morning beer. So then Gabby's like, so how was your night? I heard there were like raised voices. And Sam's like, yeah, there were words exchanged. And Danielle's like, yeah, I need my morning beer. So Lindsay's like, yeah, because I was like, how'd it go with Danielle? And even like, you need to have a conversation with her. And I was like, I've already had 2 conversations with her. And every time I get more confused about conversations with her. So...
So currently the state of your friendship is ? I guess. And Lindsay's like, yeah. So then Carl is working out. By the way, I want to mention a few weeks ago, Ronnie, you mentioned Carl's shirt with all the bumps on it. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And actually the people who make that shirt, it's called the Amorpho, they actually sent me one and I'm very excited to try it. And I'm going to report back on how the Carl shirt is. So, give me a little update on that. It's pretty cool.
Is it like a weighted shirt?
I think it's like a weighted shirt. I haven't actually put it on yet. I've tried it, but it's cool. So,
the Amorpho.
Yeah,
Amorpho. Weighted shirt. Carl wore it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's incredible that I brought it up and they sent it to Ben. So, thanks for that.
They reached out to both of us, but
great.
I was the one who responded to the email. I guess
you, I think they were like, Ronnie's already got a weighted shirt on. It's called his chest. So we don't need to send it to Ronnie. Send it to Ben instead.
I'm sure if you respond to the email too, you'll get your own Amorpho too. We could be like Amorpho twins. Why are you always putting this on me? Don't put it on me. Don't put it on me.
All I really need in life are canned olives. So whatever. Enjoy your fucking Amorpho.
How about you attach a bunch of canned olives to your shirt and work out then and see how that works out for you? Okay.
So people are going out for the morning. Some people are going shopping, etc. Amanda, Paige, and Sierra come in. They're all dressed up to go shopping. And then Chris announces. He's like, all right, ladies, I've got a variety of games for us, okay? How long are you going shopping? Because I don't want you to miss out on the games. And Sierra goes, yeah, don't worry about us. Go ahead and start without us and finish without us. Okay, yeah. You're dumb. Nobody likes you here. I speak for me and the audience. Go home.
And he goes, and when she goes, finish without us, he goes, I always do. They're like, oh, God.
But Sierra likes it. She's like finally charmed, you know. So Carl comes in and sounds like, I want a hug. And he's like, oh, this is working. I'll hug. This is from Barry's Boot Camp. Sorry if that was a heavy hug, but like that was an amorpho hug. So
yeah, it's just a little heavier than that. It's a heavy morning, but only because I'm wearing a weighted shirt, y'all. So he's like, morning, ha, morning, ha, morning, ha. So, so Carl's like, yeah, I went for a run and I was like working out and then I had to shave my face because it grows back really quickly and like nothing's wrong with my life right now whatsoever. So let's just talk about my facial hair. Yeah, bro. Oh.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, remember when I had a handlebar mustache just last week? And they're like, oh my God, yeah, you did. And Lindsay goes, yeah, I like role playing, but it doesn't really take a lot. And then she's all over Carl. And Amanda, Paige, and Sierra just stare at each other, looks. And they're like, what the hell? And, oh no, I just put Amanda and Paige give cringe looks with their same shape, different color sunglasses on their heads. They're both like.
They're looking through life through olive-colored lenses. So, Danielle's like, oh, so we're just going to pretend like nothing happened? Like nothing happened last night? I want them to go the distance, and that's why I want them to fight. Because if you want to move fast, you can't sweep everything under the rug. Like, we see you. It's like, you can sweep everything under the rug. It's going to lead to disaster later. That's all. That's
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes there is a case to be made for sweeping shit under rugs. That's why rugs are there. Sweep it under the rug. Then you can come in with a shot back every few months and clean under the rug. Not everything needs to be a huge fight. And I don't know who you're talking about, who you're talking as anyway. You're not some relationship expert. You've had like one boyfriend since we've known you, and he's barely speaking to you even when he's on the phone with you.
And well, actually, the truth is that, like, yeah, maybe they should fight, but it's not up to Danielle to decide what are the things that they have to fight about. Like, they decide if they wake up the next morning and realize, okay, that was just a stupid drunk fight, whatever, or whatever, you know, like, it's not up to, they don't have to fight on Danielle's schedule.
Also, the fight was about Danielle. Yeah, and well, also, the fight was about Danielle. So she's like, yes, I do want you to fight about me. So.
That being said, it does feel like this is an unhealthy relationship. It does feel like, yeah, you guys are going a little too fast. Like, trying to, like, figure out what's going on here. Because some things did come out in that fight.
Yeah, I couldn't be in a relationship. I'm not built like that. I'm not in a relationship at all, ever, first of all. So I get that. But that kind of yelly, one person being sober, one person getting drunk and activated, I couldn't be in that. Mm-mm. That would make me nuts. So, but also, I think that is why you sweep it under the rug, because Carl's probably thinking of it as like, well, she was drunk. Like, Lindsay, when she's sober, we've seen her on this show sober, and we're like, boring, because all they do is say babe to each other and, like, brush each other's hair. It's boring. And, of course, she goes out, and she gets activated. Now we're like, don't marry her. But I think knew that Carl was probably coming from the place of like, well, I'm sober, so when she comes home acting like that drunk, that's just her drinking, and so I'm not going to hold it against her the next day.
Because he knows her.
So we don't need to talk about it. We just need to sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, because they've known each other for several years. He knows this. He knows this is what Lindsay's all about. But still.
Yeah, in this case, I say sweep it under the rug. There you go. That's what I say. That's it.
I actually don't have a very strong opinion either way on whether this one should be swept under the rug. I think it was not... There were definitely not great things that came out of it, but at the same time, it's like Carl knows Lindsay. He knows this is what dating Lindsay's all about. So there is an argument to be made for like, whatever, let's just move forward. So anyway,
the girls sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah, sweep it on the rug. Sweep it on the rug.
So let's go to Sag Harbor. That's where you go shopping here, I guess. So the girls come in, and Paige is like, oh my God, look at the store window. Love the sand. Cute touch. Cute. Yeah.
I love those. I don't like those, but I love those. And what about those ones? I love those. Oh my God, I love that. I hate that. That's stupid. Look at the clerk. She's stupid. Oh, sorry. You could hear me. Well, you're stupid. I mean, I love you. Anyway, fun time shopping, guys.
So Sierra's like, should we get Carl more velour? And Gabby's like, oh my God, I love those. And Paige's like, yeah, love those, hate those. Love those though. And so that's pretty much it. And then we go back to home where they're playing games, Chris's games. And he's like drawn on a mustache with a marker because, I don't know, that's what game show hosts do, I guess. Yeah. And so Chris is like, all right, turd maggots. And Danielle's like, is that an army term? And he goes, yeah, army maggots. All right, Croy. Corey, you're gonna chug this bad boy. Two turns around the pool, then you're gonna do some crunches. God, this guy's making me nuts. Whose idea of a fun day is this, doing crunches and running in circles?
This is a guy who does CrossFit, I believe. Like, this is the sort of guy who equates fitness with, mass amounts of fun and that everyone believes it's fun. He's the sort of guy who, if he were a go-go dancer, his go-go dancing would be to, do push-ups on stage and to flex and kiss his bicep, but not actually to dance or be sexy. He actually would conflate fitness and exercise with sexiness. That's what, because that's what he's doing here. He's turning all their fun, all their activities into just working out. And so he they're playing flip cup, and then he makes Corey do laps and do push-ups and do crunches. And then Corey's doing crunches, and Carl's he looks like he's trying to suck his own dick. Oh, yeah. I'm still Carl the frat boy, guys. I just said that. Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
Hey, dude, you're trying to suck your wiener, bro. So then back at the store, Paige is like, oh, so how are, speaking of clearance racks, how were Sam and Corey last night? And Gabby's like, oh my God, they were very Sam and Corey. I'm excited for her because she's excited for him. And Paige is like, yeah, I think they're a nice summer fling. Which is Paige's way of going, oh my God, this will never last, but have fun fucking that fuckboy for the next month.
Exactly. And Gabby's like, I feel like I could totally get along with Corey if he just stopped trying to hug me all the time. Just don't touch me. Which I could totally, I feel like that's such a great character assessment of someone. He's just always trying to hug.
But that's me, though. That makes me sad because I like Gabby, and she would never want to be friends with me.
But you would hug to be like, oh, hey, how's it going? But he's hugging to be like, yeah, it's part of a persona building thing. It's not, you're not trying to build your persona through hugs, but he's trying to be like, yeah, I'm just cool Corey. I'm just your best friend Corey, but I might want to fuck you too. It's a different hug.
Yeah. I'm the guy in a pearl necklace who's harmless. Yeah. He's hugging you. And then gives you a pearl necklace. So Amanda's like, are you not the hugger in the relationship? And she just looks grossed out. And Sierra's like, so are you affectionate? Okay, when was the last time you held somebody's hand? And Gabby's like, ew, gross. And she goes, okay, hold my hand right now. Okay, hold it. Okay, now finish the conversation. We're going to ease into this.
Gabby is so uncomfortable. She's like, this is terrible. I hate this.
Holding my hand is 20% off right now. Does that make it easier?
A little bit.
Does that make it easier?
My hand just offered you a job. Does that make it easier? Maybe.
And Amanda takes her other hand. She's like, okay, I hate that. I hate that. It smells like olives in here. Paige is like, well, when we hold hands, when me and Craig hold hands, he holds my wrist because my arms are so long. So when we walk down the street, they're is that a problem at the airport? She goes, yeah. Someone literally checked on me. They said, ma'am, are you okay? I said, yes. It's not like he's my uncle. And they all start laughing.
Yeah, someone asked Paige how old she was. I'm actually surprised that there's not been a paparazzi photo of Craig holding her like that and someone being like, look at Craig. He's always trying to control her. I'm surprised someone didn't think that he was dragging her through the streets in a pap photo.
Yeah.
So
they return from shopping and oh my God, gross. It sounds like they're at the pool. It sounds like they're doing a game.
Yeah, because Chris blows his whistle and they're like, oh, sports, gross. I don't want to go back there.
So then they go out to say hi, and they're playing this version of Spin the Bottle where Chris hasn't. They all stand in a circle, they spin the bottle, and Chris is holding an egg. And if the bottle lands on them, Chris gets to nail them with an egg.
Yeah, so he's going to do that. So he does it, and he throws an egg at Carl, but it's a hard-boiled egg. And so it just pelts Carl on the thigh. Because I was like, where's the egg splatter? And there was none because it's a hard-boiled egg.
He's like, oh, God, that hurt. And Corey's like, oh, my God, who puts hard-boiled eggs in the fridge? Literally everybody. Well, where else do you put hard-boiled eggs?
And how do you not know there's a hard-boiled? Can't you tell when you hold an egg, if it's hard-boiled versus not hard-boiled. I feel like there's a distinct difference, right?
They just like, that's Amanda's breakfast. So
so much for the bagel breakfast that Amanda loved.
Then we get a Sam and Corey notebook romance moment. Sam's like, I was like talking shit. And Corey's like, I'm cool with that. And she goes, you're too easy. And he goes, did you say I'm too easy? She's like, yeah, I like it harder.
Please put these people in a birdcage and send them off to like another continent. I don't know.
So Amanda's like, okay, girls, did you guys get your fertility stuff in the mail? Because I didn't open mine yet. Pates is like, oh my God, do you guys want to go to my room and like open our fertility pages?
Yeah, so they go up to get their tests. So Paige goes first, and her test says that she will likely hit menopause around 51 and has an average number of eggs for her age. And she's like, all my stuff is normal. I guess my body just liked and subscribed to itself. Huh.
And then Amanda's like, you may have an average round of eggs. Congrats. Mine says I may have an average number of eggs and I may reach menopause at 51. This is starting to sound like a false test. not false, but just a copy test. Like maybe it always says the same thing. You know what I mean?
It's like the magic eight ball. She's like, wait a second. It also says I have an abnormally large amount of olives in my ovaries. I didn't even know you could do that.
Says you will soon discover olives. That's crazy. It's like psychic.
So then Sierra, though, her response is that she will likely reach menopause earlier than 51, and she has fewer eggs than average. So she's kind of devastated by this. It's one of those cruel things. Like, we've actually seen this in a lot of like scripted things where someone encourages someone to take a test or get a result for something, and then they're like, I'll do it with you. And then they are the ones, the people who encourage this are the ones who actually get the results that are less to their liking. And so she's kind of like, she's pretty floored by it, and she starts to spiral, and I feel genuinely bad for her because, you know, she clearly was not expecting that and was going through it.
This is not a real test from a doctor. Let's go True. To the doctor, guys. And normally I'm not the kind of person to say let's go to the doctor, but and also I also admit I don't know much about science, or really much, but pricking your finger, I don't know that that's going to tell you how many eggs you have. Okay, so go to your doctor. Okay, they can literally count your eggs. They have a machine there. It's like a
we've seen it on many abacus. Bravo shows. That's
it's
for
like
sure.
An egg-a-kiss, okay? And they can count your eggs. I've seen it on Bravo. It can be done. Go to
yeah, so Sierra, you know, buck up, because who knows? Maybe it'll be better when, you know, this should... I'm like giving like a pep talk to something that happened in the past.
I know, so, like it's over. So now they're doing more game stuff outside, and Corey and Sam are lying down for another romantic scene where she's just like slapping his washboard abs. And it's like, you can just lie there because I'm like just going to slap your stomach. Oh, yeah.
Go away. So Amanda... Yeah, by the way, and Amanda is also having mixed emotions because she was actually hoping there would be a response to the test that was like, oh yeah, you are like low on eggs. So it explained why she hasn't been having her period and why she's been losing weight. So it has actually not solved anything. And now she's also feeling a little worse. So, and Sierra's talking about how she wants to have a family one day. And so, you know, she always wants to have kids. So this is causing her to freak out. So then
she's like, everything I'm doing right now in terms of my career and finances and even looking for a relationship is to put myself in a position to have a family. You're doing summer house and winter house, first of all. Okay. And I don't think you're nursing. You're only recording TV shows. So I'd hate to disagree with you here, but I will say I think you will be a beautiful wife and a wonderful mother, and I hope that happens. But just don't count on it happening on these shows, okay?
Well,
I mean,
unfortunately,
look around.
It might happen on these shows. And
please don't let it
please
happen,
don't let it happen
shows.
On these please. Shows. Okay, we've already put Austin in the rearview mirror. Okay, that's what we're saying. We're saying,
look
please.
At who you've chosen. You know, at this point, I'm just worried about your picker. I want you to go to the doctor. I want you to say, check on my eggs and make sure my picker is okay. Because you've gone from Austin to kind of Corey to God knows what else you've got in store for you. Okay, I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm worried too. But now Kyle and Danielle and Carl are sitting together, and Kyle's like, wow, oh my God, that was like my third workout of the day, like no big deal. And Carl goes,
Yeah, well, you need it after eating 5,000 calories of cookies. Whoa, Carl. Whoa. Sorry, not everyone wakes up and goes to Barry's boot camp every morning like you do.
Yeah, but that's how Kyle is. You know, he gets wasted and then eats everything. And I'm sure Maya has, you know, tons of cookies that they haven't let her promote. So I tried to buy again.
So then we see the footage, by the way, of Kyle eating those cookies, binging the night before.
Binging. Okay, Kyle gives me so much hope. Like, that one day you can, like, have a body like that and binge.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that sounds amazing. So Danielle is Kyle, Danielle, and Carl talking. And Kyle's like, so how are things between you and Lindsay? And Danielle says, you know, I thought things were great. But then after the Carl talk, I guess she just needs to hear 1,000% support all the time. And Carl's like, well, I tried to relay that, but I guess I didn't do a great retelling. So I just said you should talk more. But also, just like to point out, Danielle, you still haven't really said sorry for what she wants you to be sorry for, which was talking to all the girls about her behind her back.
Well, they need to have a very simple conversation where they essentially come to basically what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. Like, I should not have vented to those girls, and Lindsay should say, and I should check on you more. And that's like, I think that's kind of like all they have to do. But they're not doing that.
Even though they've already had that conversation.
But they haven't quite had that conversation. Not quite. So they need to really just say it, you know?
So Carl, so Danielle's like, yeah, but she doesn't need me now. That's how it feels. Like I'm being cut out. So we have everything figured out. I'm happy. But checking on me still. Like, it doesn't have to be like a World War III, okay? It's not tit for tat blame game. And so, of course, Lindsay comes right up and is like, what are you talking about? And she sits right on Carl's lap possessively. You know, she's like, this is mine. Do you have anything to say to my seat? You can say it to me first.
And he's like, oh, we were actually talking about you, honestly. He's
like, oh, really? Like, what did I miss?
And Danielle's like, well, for some reason, you both feel or have felt that I don't support you guys as a couple. And Lindsay's like, correct. And Danielle's like, well, and like this, that's like so far beyond what is actually happening. And Lindsay's
not like, really, because you said, I'm allowed to be weirded out by this. I'm allowed to be, by this.
That's,
so,
but that could be, that's, that could be different from, you could still support something, but be weirded out by it. I firmly believe that. But like, I support it. I know that they're happy. I'm weirded out though, because like our relationship has changed. Mm-hmm. I think you have best of both worlds.
Okay, so then Lindsay's like, but you keep saying our friendship has changed because of this relationship. And Danielle's like, well, I don't want you to get defensive because this has nothing to do with me wanting to get more out of you in our friendship. Because I do feel like, you know, I need you, you know, because like we used to always hang out. And Lindsay's like, but you're not in the city, Danielle. Like, I'm not saying you aren't there as much as our relationship hasn't changed. Wait, I'm not saying, hey. Oh, I'm not saying, hey, you aren't there as much, so our relationship this changed. Like, come on. And she's like, yeah, but you can't, so you can't check on me physically. If I'm physically not there, you can't check in with me.
And she goes, no. Lindsay goes, no. So then Kyle goes, well, she literally just wants to be seen by her best friend. Also, does anyone have any Mint Milanos? Just asking for a friend. So Lindsay
and
just,
of course, Amanda and Paige are watching this whole thing like, yeah, like spooning the olives into their mouth.
Here it comes. Yeah. So Danielle's like, why the fuck do you get like this? Now, also, I will say, to Danielle is not good at communicating with Lindsay because a few lines ago, she was like, don't get defensive. And now she's saying, why do you get like this? Because when she says those things, all she's doing is making Lindsay defensive and it's getting away from the conversation. Just like, when Lindsay's acting like that, focus on how you can just communicate with her and not like attacking her for like having these admittedly very defensive reactions.
Well, everybody knows. Everybody knows, especially I feel like every woman, when you're fighting, you don't say, oh my God, you're crazy. Like, that's like the last thing you say. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Danielle is saying over and over. Like, every time Lindsay says something, she goes, oh my God, why are you getting like this? Yeah. And I think Danielle's purposely doing this to activate Lindsay, to get Lindsay activated, to make Danielle. I think Danielle, look, everyone who's been on the show this long, these two know that this is now a storyline. right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a friendship thing. This is now like a storyline. It's like finally Danielle versus Lindsay. And so I think Danielle is going to do whatever she can. And of course, she always sees Paige and Amanda over there watching everything, getting ready to report to the court what just happened. Mm-hmm. So I think Danielle's playing this a little more carefully than people give her credit for. I think she's purposely trying to push Lindsay over the edge. Of course, that's not very hard to do because Lindsay falls for it every time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's purposeful or not, but I think you made an interesting case. And Danielle's like, she's like, it's not tit for tat. Like, this is me trying to explain myself to you because I want us to get back to the sisterhood we had, wherein you just did things and I was like, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. I mean, that was a real sisterhood.
And she's like, yeah, I want us to go back to the friendship we had. And Lindsay goes, but then you're talking shit about my relationship all the time, which is true. And of course, Danielle has no answer for that. So she just goes, come on, that's fucked up. I'm like crying now. I need to go. Like, how do you not see that? I'm going to go punch a wall. Like, this is ridiculous.
Paige is like, from afar, Paige goes, oh, Danielle's crying. She's crying. Get, open up a new can of olives. Stat. This is a big one. This is a big fight.
And Danielle's like, I would like a die for you. Don't you see that? And Lindsay's like, I've never blamed you for my shit. She goes, I'm not blaming you. Why does it have to be that? And she goes, well, that's what I keep hearing. And Danielle goes, from other people? And she goes, yeah, because you keep talking behind her back to other people, you idiot. That's so, why she's hearing it from other people. You can't get mad at her for listening to other people when you're talking to other people about her.
So Paige is like, so Danielle like storms away and she goes inside. So Paige is like, I'm going to go see if she's okay. So Paige and Amanda, of course, go scurrying afterwards, but Danielle's in the bathroom. So Paige and Amanda just sort of stake out the kitchen and they're like, let's just like casually eat these olives. So that way when she comes out, we just like happen to be here. It'll be like, do you want an olive? Have you ever heard of olives before? They're like really good. Do you want to try it? Then she could be like an olive sister with us.
And then she comes out of the bathroom and they hug her with their mouths full. They're like, and she's like, I mean, just when I think we're breaking through, it's tit for tat, which by the way, I just learned that phrase and I love it. It's fucking amazing. I'm going to use it every chance I get. She's like, you've been talking to everyone else about it. It's like, you've literally talked right to Paige and Amanda and you're doing it right now. So then Lindsay outside is like, it's not fair to put it on me. God, that's her favorite that's thing her to thing. Say.
Don't put it on me. Like, I understand the friendship component of it, but like, I also have like a lot of feelings about like how she's been speaking about my like relationship 2 days ago. And she said it was like weird that we're like dating. When we see the flashback where Danielle said, I'm allowed to feel weird about it, which is different than saying it's weird that you're dating and I will stand by that. Thank you very much.
Not really. She's saying I'm allowed to feel weird about it. Like, it's weird.
Well, they're very similar. I mean, she's saying like I support you guys, but it's just like it's weird for me because we were a trio and now we're not a trio anymore. So it's weird for me. That's different than saying like how weird that they're dating. Like, why would they ever date? You know, that's a different nuance.
So she's like, well, it's 2 days ago. Now 2 days later, now she's supportive suddenly. And Kyle's like, well, I think for her, it's going to be weird because you guys are like a three-legged stool.
Hey, by the way, that's what they used to call me in high school. Am I right?
That's how everyone wants to be described. He's like, can we go back to three amigos instead of three-legged stool? Thank you. But he's like, yeah, now you guys live together with like your weird animals. And like, I'm sure she's just trying to like make sense of that. And she's like, yo, how does Lindsay not understand that? Lindsay's like, like Lindsay does not take that in whatsoever.
So because they're fighting about two different things.
Yeah, they actually basically. Are. They are.
So then Danielle is inside saying, I'm trying and she isn't. Like, if you need some time to marinate about what you want in this relationship, then fine, do it. Because like, this is what I need. And if you don't want it, that's fine. Well, she needs you to stop talking shit behind her back. And you're currently doing that. Although she does that as well, too.
She does.
You know, she went into the girls and does it, too. So I don't know.
It's a weird thing because they're all in the same. Yeah, they're sorry to talk over you. But there's like they're all in the same house. And like so at some point, if you need to vent, like you just they're the people that are there, you know. But So Danielle's basically like, yeah, if you need to marinate on that, then, you know, marinate on it. And Paige is like, speaking of marinating, have you ever had marinated olives? They are divine.
So then Sierra has made a fire, and she's very proud of it because this is what happens when you don't bring Luke back. okay? Yeah. People have to learn to make fires. So she's like, I can do anything a dude can do without a man and on my period. Not going to lie, look at this fire. And everyone's like, wow. And Kyle comes out in his Kenny Chesney cowboy hat, and they have hot dogs and hamburgers. And then Corey tells Sam she's cute. And Sierra's like, oh my God, I can't wait till you guys just go to the bone zone already.
Yeah, and they start talking about vibrator. Well, Chris goes, I have a question.
Chris, of course.
He's like, if a girl whipped out a vibrator on your first date, would you guys feel offended? I'm like, I would be offended to be on a first date with Chris, to be honest. That's where I'd be more offended. I'd be offended at myself.
Danielle's like, well, if she pulls out a vibrator, you should feel bad about yourself. And Paige goes, I don't think that's true, which is funny because she's with Craig, whose thing with Naomi. Naomi's like, you don't even ever have sex. Like, what the hell? Like, he became known as like some sexless monster or whatever during, not monster, but you know what I mean. That was kind of the storyline back then. So I love that Craig's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Paige, you got a vibrator. Because I'm like that. I'm very tired. You know, I'm sexual, but then I'm sexual for like 10 minutes and then I'm like, okay, that was fun. Like, can we do something else? So I love a toy. You know?
Paige is like, Craig and I, like, we introduced toys quickly. I mean, I have my vibrator and he actually just had Tonka trucks, which is sort of weird. He just sort of pushed them around on the carpet.
She's like, you know, he stabs me with a vibrator and then he stabs a wall with a butter knife and then he comes. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But, you know, I've known that vibrator for longer than most people here, so I feel most comfortable with the vibrator. Sorry.
Which is what Craig also says about his Minions plushie, which he cuddles in bed at night instead of me.
He said it inspired him to have a pillow business, and yet none of them are round. Which is super weird. Hence the vibrator. Okay, you know what? I'm thinking about olives too much. Let's just keep moving.
So now they're dancing, and they're dancing, and like they're in the, a bunch of them are in the kitchen. They're dancing like in the windows, trying to get the outside people to come in. And Carl's like, "Oh, this is like, you know, like the red light district in Amsterdam, and like the women dancing in windows, like it's like that, right, guys? I can take that. You want me to take that from the top, so that we can really think about like that image, and then you can all laugh this time because you didn't laugh this first time. Okay, no, okay, cool."
So then we see Carl and Lindsay in bed, and Carl's like, babe, you're like so beautiful, babe. And she's like,
don't make me cry, babe. I don't want to cry right now, babe. I don't want to cry.
Oh my God, Lindsay making cutesy voice. I can't.
I know, it's a lot. So then Sierra and Paige are in their room, just sitting in their beds, and then everyone comes in to dance, and everyone's like, ah! They're just like dancing in there, having a fun time. And Lindsay and Carl are just like, basically everyone is in one room having fun time. And then Lindsay and Carl are in a separate room just being cutesy. And so, but like you could tell Lindsay can't stand this. Lindsay cannot stand being away from the group and not doing all the fun things as everyone else. So she's like, babe, like, do you want to see what's like happening? Like two doors down? Like, this is not the same as going to Montauk. This is literally just like two doors down the hallway. Can we at least peek in? Can we just like open the door?
Yeah, okay, let's go do it. So they go, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's Carl and Lindsay. So
they actually joined in the fun. Yeah.
Carl's like, okay, it's time to go now. That was fun. Wasn't fun, babe? She's like, that was so much fun, babe. That was great.
Like, I'm glad we spent 30 seconds in there and got a taste of what life used to be like when we had fun doing fun things. Yay.
So then in the morning, Chris goes through the house blowing the whistle. God, this fucking guy.
I can't.
Paige and Sierra wake up and well, by the way,
he doesn't just go through the house with a whistle. So Corey spent the night in Sam's bed. So he's like, huh, which room did Corey stay in last night? So he goes downstairs with the whistle. He goes into their room, which is sort of like a shared room also, and he pulls the blankets. He like whips the blankets off the bed that they're in and then pulls Corey off of it. Aside from the fact that that's like so obnoxious because like who wants to be woken up that way? But like they could have been naked under there. That could have been actually very mortifying for Sam. Well, for both of them, but I think especially for Sam, you know? And there was a whole real world scandal based on this very thing in season two. Okay, Chris? This shows what happens when you don't pay attention to history.
You don't need to whip out a Tammy defense here, okay?
This is
many years later, and these people fuck on camera now in front of the camera.
No, but I do think in all seriousness, like that was fucked up. Like they were like making out all night long. I don't think you just go into someone's bed and just like whip the sheets right off them on camera.
Okay, this is an hour and a half in. Like, it's too long for me to care about Chris whipping off a blanket.
I don't disagree with you. He made me mad, and I wanted to register that anger on the internet.
I support it. Your registration has been stamped.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I can't care.
Okay, that's fine too. So, either way, and the funny thing is, I thought this episode ended after the Danielle and Lindsay fight, but it's just
sort of why like isn't puttering. It? It just keeps. I just kept scrolling. That's why I was like, "What the fuck with this show? How are we talking about Summer House, where literally nothing happened except Lindsay screaming all episode?"
Well, it was a good episode, but like it feels like the episode ended, and now we're watching this stuff, and basically. Paige's wrist hurts because Corey jumped on it last night, and now they're drinking orange juice in the like they're sitting around. And Sierra's like, "Guys, how old is this orange juice? It says September 29th. Like, what month is it right now?" Paige is like, "August."
That's Sierra. She's like, first of all, they're in the kitchen and Paige is eating out of a pot. I think it's something from their. I think it's like something gruel. They had from yesterday, like at their hamburger party or whatever, like potato salad. I don't know, but I was cracking up at just like because Paige is so little anyway. She looks like a little girl just eating out of this giant bowl, you know. So she's just sitting there, and Sierra's like, "Yeah, so this orange juice expires September 29th, guys. What month is it now?" Paige goes, "August." She goes, "Oh, so is it old?"
September 20. So look at the bottle. Does it look like Lindsay? Because that will be your answer.
September 29th. It's August right now. She goes, "Yeah, but like, what's the number day?" She goes, "It doesn't matter. We're not even close to September 29th. And Sierra goes, "Yeah, but sometimes that's just the date the store has to sell it by. Like, it could still be good." And Paige goes, "It is good." Oh my God.
I wonder, was Sierra thinking it was September 29th of last year? Is that what was going on?
Yes. She thinks somebody went to the store and bought orange juice that was from a year ago. Like, how backwards is the Hamptons, little grocery stores?
The funny thing is all that orange juice, like Simply Orange, all that stuff, and Tropicana, all those things sit in a vat for like a year before they even get bottled. I read this.
Oh, it's like mayonnaise. Well, it's like mayonnaise. Mayonnaise never, like literally, have you ever seen bad mayonnaise that you buy from the store, like Hellman's? It never goes bad. I think orange juice, in The Walking Dead, there's literally no food left on Earth because it all spoiled, but they can all still have orange juice somehow. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, it's really fascinating how they treat orange juice, and it's like technically it's allowed to be called quote unquote fresh, but it's actually been sitting in a giant vat somewhere for a year before it's even been put in those plastic bottles.
Wow, anyway, I didn't know that.
It's a great metaphor for the cast members on this show.
Yeah. So Carl and Lindsay in their room are like, Carl's like, "I miss you, babe. When I was working out." It's like, "You did, babe." "Yeah, babe. You did, babe. I miss you."
Yeah.
Babe. So then Amanda is downstairs and she's like, "Where's my man?" And Sam comes down. She goes, "Same." And Amanda goes, "Oh my God, you're calling him your man now?" She goes, "For now." And she tells us, "Corey hasn't made it below the collarbone yet. My mom will be so proud. So we're going to go fucking Montauk." Yeah. <I know. laughs> "We're going to see how far this chemistry takes us. We're going to fuck. Yeah, we are. And I'm going to see if I get the ick or not." So,
yeah.
"Hey, mom."
And Chris is like, "Oh, so good seeing you, Corey." And Corey's like, "Yeah, I mean, I might be back next weekend. I'm not even sure. I may be." He's like, "Oh, really?" It's like, so doesn't Corey own businesses? What's up with this sort of like buying? I mean, obviously, I know why he bought a one-way ticket, because he's on this TV show. But like, I like the idea that he, quote unquote, has businesses in Charlotte. And he's like literally nowhere near them. So
he has the smiley face gym. Just have the gym where you can get a drink while you work out.
Yeah, but it's like he painted a smiley face because he's like an artist deep down.
He's an artistic soul. That came from when people were like, "You're cute and not hot."
Yeah,
I became an artist to like deal with my pain. So.
His emotions. So now we go to the city and I'm like, how is this happening? We're starting a city sequence. The show is like, it's been going on for like 3 hours now. And so the music is suddenly very intense. It's almost like a corporate training video. It's like dun 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 dun. And Carl's just like walking down the street, like, "Yeah, I'm walking. Yeah, you know, like all the things that have like happened to me and like have led me to where I am like right now in the summer. And like everyone listens to that like little voice in their heart. My little voice is screaming. You look great, by the way. But it's also screaming, Lindsay, Lindsay. And deep down, there's a fear, but that's totally natural.
It's totally natural." Fear is natural. So that's what Jared's told me. And I'm here to make it a vesh.
So the ring dealer is the dad's girlfriend from Succession. And she's like, "Oh my God, are you ready?" And he's like,
"Oh my God, holy shit. Can I just say to this ring, babe, wah, babe, babe.
I can't hold back anymore. I'm going to get down my knee. I'm going to do it. And it looks like next week.
Babe.
It's happening. Happening next week on Summer House.
And that brings us to the end of Summer House, and everybody, thank you so much for being here with us. We appreciate.
Yeah, and we will catch you on the next episode. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.